through the guy's arm, and then he goes and he breaks the guy's leg, and then he has forms him, and then he finally deafens him. Now, at the end, he's going to have to pay for everything. Now, the question is, do we assess that separately, or do we assess it all together? Now, the God believes in Nezek, it doesn't make any difference, because once you're Mishalim for everything, you're Mishalim for everything. There's no way you're going to pay more than everything, obviously.
So, can you add up to more somehow?
Well, obviously, you don't owe him more than everything. Doesn't matter how they add up. Doesn't matter. Well, that for sure wouldn't matter. The question over here is, says the Gemara, Legabe, the Tsar, which in fact was separate, and the Shevet, first we start off with the specific type of Busha for one thing and the Busha for the other thing. Now there it should add up separately. As a matter of fact, Tosfos says, what Pasha Havim is there that it shouldn't. I mean, if you suffered separately, Tsar and Busha, so what is the question? It's as if he had suffered more Tsar and Busha throughout the whole thing. So why shouldn't you pay separately? So Tosfos explains that the whole question over here is the matter of assessment per se. In other words, there's no question that you're going to have to pay the Busha and the Tsar for the breaking of an arm, the breaking of a leg, the blinding, and so on and so forth. The only question is, if those things are assessed together, they inevitably end up costing less than when they're assessed all at once. That's all. So it has to do with the way in which you get a wholesale rate, so to speak, on embarrassing somebody. When you're embarrassing them across the board, or when you're being decided across the board, or whether are you going to pay retail, or are you going to pay wholesale? That's how Tosis understands the question. Then already, you can understand that, of course, there's no way that he can get out of the payment. By the way, there's another small issue over here, which is whether the Girsav Rizvoy was together with the things that you definitely do have to pay separately, or the Rizvoy was in the second list. That the Shash is on Rizvoy as well, which is also very strange. Because why would there be, what would be the Avamin if you could possibly get away without Rizvoy? It appears that Rashi, at least Tosfos held, that Rashi had the Girsav Rizvoy even in the question, which seems to be incredible. But again, the way that we're understanding it is that the Rizvoy, once you're paying a doctor, you pay a doctor for the whole thing, and he's going to be dealing with different elements, it's different than paying for the medical care. If each thing is a separate, calling a doctor to deal with a separate issue. But of course, I'm going to take into consideration in adjusting my fee that I'm dealing with a broken arm, a broken leg, and so on and so forth. But since it's a general checkup, so to speak, or a general tikkun, the charge is going to be less than separately. Boy, Rob. So now we're up to the four lines up from the bottom, say hey on the days, and Rav has another question today. His question is like this. Shevet hapochet so bidamim ma. We know that we pay shevet for loss of income, but there's also a type of loss of income that can be generated by a temporary loss in value. What do I mean? Hechigami. Kigon shehiko wa yado, vitsamta yado, vitsofa lakzo. Suppose I damage this man by hitting him on a nerve in his hand. His hand is now withered. Somatagirim, which is a nerve center, so that it's like hitting somebody in the solar plexus. Which he, the same thing only if I hit his hand in a place in which he now feels paralyzed right there in his elbow. We know the pain of that. And he's paralyzed for a couple of days. And now, obviously, I'm going to have to pay him for the loss of work. He can't work during those days. The problem is, I take him now to the slave market to sell him. The buyer is not quite sure what the problem is. The medical expert sits there and determines that this guy's going to recover in 2 days. It's a little scary to see a guy with, maybe he'll recover, maybe he won't. I'm going to buy, and I'm going to buy with a significant reduction because I'm not sure. So even though we know, in other words, the medical expert in the court will be able to determine that in 2 days this guy's going to be fine, not even going to notice anything ever happened. So in a sense, we should not have anything but Shevet to pay. But the question is, in real terms, if we take a look at Nezek as really Nezek, if that's what we're supposed to look at it, right now I cannot be told. So the question of what's going to happen afterwards, I mean, that's not your business. I, as the damagee, I want the money right now. Right now, I can't take a policy out. I can't, if I know later I'm going to get a mortgage on yourself, I can't get a mortgage on myself. And that's worth money. So what's the din? Do we think even the silver of Zorloyai Vlaivalomidi, in real terms, there was a peasant? Oh, Dilma, hush, in the opposite. Do we say, but the reality is, this man is worth less. Now, Tashma, the Korah was to bring a riot from the following price. Someone who hurts a father and a mother has no fear of Misa where there's no Chabura. So therefore there would be no Ksura because of Kamla B'Rabim in it. And that's group of what the verse is coming from. The Hakovel B'Chadero B'Yom HaKippurim. Furthermore, somebody hurts his friend and causes a Chabura on Yom Kippur, which is not a Chiyav Misa, it's only a Chiyav Koras, and therefore there's no Kamla B'Rabim in it. Chayav B'Gulam, he triumphs to pay Nezik Tzai Shevet Ripu Yavoshes. Now, we have a very interesting case of it, which is Lo Asar Chabura. Lo Asar Chabura, and yet he's paying for Nezik. Now, explain to me how exactly that happens. I mean, anything which is Nezik should have to have a Chabura to cause the Nezik. Now, think about it. What damage could you do to a person that will be mazik him and cause absolutely no wound whatsoever, yet it's a permanent deficit to him? He's not permanently disabled, so you're paying him nezik, but there was no wound. I mean, come on. The only possible explanation is it's this case. It isn't permanent. I hit him in the arm, and now he's got a nerve problem. He can't use his arm for a couple of days, and it's claiming that I'm paying nezik. And that's exactly the case. And that's what Rabba was asking. So, Lachlan, don't you call? I guess so. This so called must be that it's not a permanent damage, and therefore there was no chabur. That's the only case we can talk about. This is a chayav the kulam. It says over here you're chayav and nezik separately from shevet. So there's your answer. You do have to pay for a temporary disablement because of the current loss of market value.
How do we know that it's temporary?
Well, our medical examiners know that it's temporary.
That's the case of the chaver and
the... Our medical examiner. Yeah. The court has determined it's temporary. But nonetheless, is there a chiyuv to pay or not? That's Rabbi's question. My issue, not necessarily so, but it may well be talking about that what he did was he deafened his father. You know, these kids that they play their cereals with the rock music, right? So now the father sounds, and that's perfectly understandable. And he didn't cause any kind of wound, but he did make him deaf. Now that's certainly permanent damage. He's got permanent hearing damage. That there is a chiyav misa for causing deafness for a father, it's actually impossible to have a case in which you could suddenly deafen someone without there being some type of internal injury. There's got to be some movement of blood in the area that was damaged, because you couldn't have generated that kind of pressure to deafen him without actually breaking some type of capillary. It's impossible. So therefore, that can't be the case we're talking about. The case we're talking about is where you're not fired visa for Chabura. So again, I'm asking you, what case would there be that is a temporary nezik, and yet it's mechayev me, because there's no other way to get a chabura, and yet it's mechayev me to pay? Must be that's the answer to Rava. Temporary nezik is mechayev me to pay temporary nezik. Says the Gemara, I can give you another case. The case is that he shaved off his father's hair. Okay, fine. So he shaves off his father's hair. That is terrible damage. But his father assumedly was not Haredi. So Mahadar. But I understand, hair grows back, doesn't it? I mean, then we're back. I know by it. That's what we ask. If you damage someone temporarily, are you required to pay for the temporary loss of value? Absolutely. Absolutely. No question, Mr. Morris. You can do that, as we'll see. It's talking about over here that he used a permanent depilatory. Boy, if we had this ingredient, we could make an awful lot of money. Let me tell you. He used Nasha, which in the Gemara is a permanent depilatory, the Lohar. So now the hair is never going to grow back. That is considered to be a permanent damage, because the value of an individual who walks around without hair is certainly a lot less than someone who is attractive, looks normal, and so on and so forth. And therefore, you damage them. The mold is not beautiful for the most person. Correct. So now we have all of the various nizak, and now we're over here. Tsar, well, what's the tsar? The tsar is the Isekatus de Bereshe. He has a wound on his scalp and the top table. Now they're hurting. When you put on this nash, it burns. So the tatsumyanakatu, the uripui, when you need a doctor to take away that burning sensation. So the boy, you see it. Shevet, Well, I understand, though, he can't work because he's bald?
Yes.
Now, I mean, like, they agree with the guy was a vaudeville actor at a nightclub, and now the boy Mate Guniares, and he's supposed to be dancing around, shaking his head back and forth, and making all kinds of interesting, funny moves. He's a comedian. Well, the guy's not going to be able to do that now, right? His head hurts, so he can't move his head any longer. So now I've damaged him for Chevy. Now then he'll feel better in a week, and he'll be able to get back to his job. But I mean, come on, now he's bald, and he's lost 90% of his bookings. This guy's in serious trouble. There you go. Bullshit, very good. Bullshit. Hey, look how bullshit troubled me. What bigger bullshit is there than to get a haircut like that? And therefore, there is no question that you can sue your barber for bullshit. And that's the one. In any event, that would mean that we have an answer to our abaya, because we could figure out a way to damage permanently, but without causing any chabura at all. The nasha won't cause a chabura. Now, milta the baile the rabba. This rabba didn't know. We had to bring a raya, and we couldn't bring a raya. But it's pshitalei la abaya la haskis and la rabba la haskis. Abaya and rabba both said, well, we know the answer. The only problem is each one knew the opposite answer. So they didn't have any question about it. It was obvious to them. But in opposite directions, where do we see this idioma? He called a yadovik pampavik to falak draw. Now this is exactly the case the rabbi wanted to know about. You hit someone, the hand now is paralyzed for a little while, it's going to come back. So Baya says there's two separate payments over here. There's what's known as the shevet yidolah. In other words, the temporary loss of the hand, which lowers its value in terms of nezek, has to be paid separately from the shevet kitana, which is the local shevet. In other words, the damage that's going to be from his inability to work for the next week until it does come back. And Rava says, no, there's no payment for shevet gidolah. And on those of the nation, tosha b'chol yom v'yom. What you pay him is the full loss of his income for every single day. Full loss, in other words, if in fact he was a comedian, then you pay him for his full loss of his bookings, not for the difference between Shomer and Kishurim. If you pay separately Shevet Gedolah and Shevet Kitana, as we said, included in the loss of his hand is the loss of his income, the diamond cutter. But he still has the possibility, his hand is if he was a diamond cutter. So I paid him for the hand, I've already paid for that level of income. Now there's his lower income, his new income, cucumber washing, right? So if he's going to be doing that, that would be Shevet Kitana. But Shevet Kitana is only where there's also a payment to Shevet Gidolah. In other words, we're looking just at the loss of income component of the nezek, correct? We're now have to assess what it is that this guy is worth on an open market. The market is assessed as different in terms of his potential for bringing me income as a diamond cutter. The loss of his hand means that I've already included that in the price of the nezek. So that's the Shevet Gidolah. That component of loss of income for diamond cutting is Shevet Gidolah. And it's included in the nezek. The Shevet Kitana is the actual loss of income for his current ability to work, which may be just cucumber washing. So, but if, you'll notice how careful Rava is not to say, no, ain't no nozim on the Shevet Kitana, because that's not true. Because the Shevet in this case doesn't have two separate components. Therefore, he actually has to pay the actual loss of income. That's why he says, b'chol yom v'yom. Whatever he would have made today, you have to make up for him. If he's a doctor, then his income for the day, you have to make up if he misses the day, and so on. Because you're not paying a shevet gidolah. So here we say, abaye holds, there are two separate payments. Rava holds, there's only one payment. And you know where it gets to be very interesting? Is where somebody else owns your income. That's where the two components become very interesting. Now somebody owns an Eved Ivri. Now someone owns an Eved Ivri, essentially he's bought an option for this guy's work. Correct? On the other hand, if the guy would have gotten sick, he couldn't work. So that would have been the problem of the owner. It's not a problem of the Eved Ivri. You took your chances. You're not paying me every day's work. You bought an option for my work. You understood the thing. You know what will happen. And maybe I'll die. You include that in the cost. You took out an insurance policy on you. That's your business, but you can cover your loss. Now, here, the actual ownership of the entity is still the Eved. This was only an option on work. It's an Eved Ivri. Just as loss over here, if I view it as nezek, it goes to the Eved Ivri. If you have Yehuda Shevet's Tana, the Shevet's Tana is owned by the owner. So that's what he bought, was essentially the right to the work on a day-to-day basis. Correct? This is our next question. Someone is Kerpea Yad of an Eved Ivri Shel Chavero. So now, Abaye, who holds that we look at this separately, he says, well, okay, the Shevet Gedolah, the loss of income potential goes to the Eved. Because he's the owner of his own body, and it's as if he got sick, pay him. That's all it's his, entirely. That doesn't go to the owner. The loss of his current working capability, being a cucumber watchman, that Shevet Stamah, that goes to the Rav, because anything that he could do today is owned by the Rav for the next 6 years. Whereas Rava says, no. Hakoni Hatein La'Evet, V'Lakachem Karka, V'Harav Ochel Peiro. By the way, Mitosis has a different here, too. And he says, Rava says, Hakoni Hatein La'Rav. Now, in other words, the question is like this. The Rav, according to Abaye, has really gotten screwed. Because somebody is paying, correct? The guy who did the damage is paying. So, I mean, why can't the Rav kind of look? It isn't the same as just getting sick. Because if he got sick, that there's no one that's going to compensate. Now, I understand I took my risk. But if somebody damaged him, why don't we assess the element of the damage for the next 6 years, or how much left of this term, and pay that to the also? Why is he ever getting that as if it's all his money? So, essentially, what Rav is saying is that what we do is, you say, okay, look, for all intents and purposes, all of the income production of this Eved you own for the next 6 years. Very good. We will give you the money. You can't keep the money. Say, we can't keep the Eved. But you can invest the money. Say, well, you can invest the Eved. Invest the money, keep the production of the money, so any interest you get to keep or any business you made with it, the profit is yours. At the end of the term, the Eved now takes over the whole thing, which is exactly the situation that you were in when you were investing in Eved's work in your own thing. And that's much fairer. That way, the Rav is fully compensated, and yet he owns nothing of the Eved himself. The Eved still owns his own body, so to speak, and he can invest that after his term, the same way he would have been able to invest in his own physical body. So therefore, everything works out beautifully. That's why the years of the Rav makes a great deal of sense over here. Obviously, when we give it to the Eved, it's essentially the same idea. Now the question is, why should he be the one that's up away? And if we're giving it to the Eved should invest it now. Right? And we're going to say, in our years, so we say, Hakor Yinatein La'Eved, V'Yilakach Ben Karka, V'Arav Ochel Peirot. The Rav eats the Peirot of that Karka. No. It's an Eved Ivri. That's only an Eved Ivri. Now, Pshita, Pichete Telatmo, V'Eto Ravo Lo Pichete. Where there was a problem here that affected only him and not the Rav, for instance, if he'd done me the pascular issue, then somebody cut off of his ear or something, you know, maybe he was a prize fighter, or the ratio of hearing, or cuts off the tip of his nose. So over there, Hakol La'atzmo, and this, the point is, if it was also something that affected the other, there is where we have to pluk at the Bible up, not arguing in things that only affected the other, obviously. Then we said, Boshet HaKol L'Piyah Mevayesh V'Mitvayesh. And when you say HaKol L'Piyah Mevayesh V'Mitvayesh, HaKol seems to imply every possible factor in the status of the Mevayesh V'Mitvayesh. Now those factors would include social status, standing, whether he's rich or poor, whether he personally needs to engage in things that are mivayation anyway in order to make his living, and that whether he's older or younger, everything is beyond mivayation or mivayation, which leads us to problems, because the Mishnah is not following Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, which is rare. Instead, it's following Rabbi Shimon Shita, as the Gemara points out. Money must be seen. Lo Rabbi Meir, velo Rabbi Yehuda, ala Rabbi Shimon. It's not. Here is the fundamental machlokas about how to assess the nature of Boshet, and it really should say Netanya because it's a brisa. Kulam ro'im otan ki'ilu hein b'nei cholim she'yardu b'nichtehen she'hein b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says social financial standing is not an issue. Instead, what we do is we make a level playing field. That's the other opposite issue. Everything else is an issue. You may be young, you may be old, and so on and so forth. You may be doing things from a bias yourself, and therefore less sensitive to Busha. fine. But the question of social standing and financial stature is not an issue. It's simple. We take poor, rich alike, and we say, okay, pretend that they are rich but don't have money now. So in other words, what we look at them as being very high class people. But we don't allow the particular moments in their lives to define what it is that we're going to pay, because after all, essentially all Jews are the same, meaning the same hashivut, because we're all b'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and other factors are not really important in defining how sensitive they are to Busha. Now obviously our Mishnah doesn't hold that, because it's not called Yami B'yesh B'yesh. Rabbi Yudomer, the Rabbi Yudomer says, well, no, Hagadol L'fi Gadlo, V'Hakatan L'fi Kosno, it all depends on where you're at. We'll see what we don't follow that along. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashirin Lo'ino Tanti Lo'im B'nei Cholim, Shiyadu B'nechtehem. Rabbi Shimon says, well, no, it's not quite like that. It's true, Rabbi Meir is right, that we don't allow current status to affect the overall assessment of Busha. So if these people are very high-class people, we still strip them of any current standing. In other words, they're high-class people, but they don't have a lot of money. We don't allow the money now to get them. Aniyim, also, we don't even look at the money of the Aniyim. Aniyim, Kikutim, Shabam. It's as if they're totally poverty-stricken. That's how we look at that. Now, let's try to analyze what our Mishnah wants. Obviously, it can't be Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah says, it all depends, and Rabbi Meir says, Kulabad Adarim. Everybody's exactly the same. So that can't be the case. Rabbi Yehuda, well, it looks like it could fit Rabbi Yehuda, except for the problem that the Mishnah continues immediately, as we'll see later today. Somebody who embarrasses a blind person is chayav, it says. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, as we'll see, he runs to the pulpit, that suma in Loboshet. There is Luchi of Loboshet on someone who's blind. No. So we're left with Rabbi Shimon.
No,
we don't want to put. Says the Gemara, please don't name Rabbi Yehuda. Well, it could still work out like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, suma in Loboshet, that only meant we can't sue a suma for Boshet. It didn't mean we don't give a suma Boshet. Avalamikfale yavinamle. We do give the Summa Boshet, and everything is fine.
Why don't we give
the Summa? That's a problem. We'll see. Correcting more about me, but no, that's not true. Because the end of the Mishnah says, and the Vayeshikar Hashem, somebody who is a Vayesh person is sleeping, is chayiv, whereas the Yashem should be Yesh is patur. Now, if you're coming to talk about the difference in someone who is the recipient and someone who is the giver, and then why didn't you include Summa? Because the first part of the Mishnah talks about Suma and Yoshe. Now you come and the Mishnah clarifies, it depends whether he's the one who caused the Boshet, in which case he's proper, because he needs to have Kavona for Boshet. But if he was Mivuyash, even though he's sleeping, he is still Yisro Chayim of Boshet. That's the word about Suma. So you see, look at that, he's Suma should be Yesh Patur. Yichlau the Lord Shmaaz, the Lord Shmaaz. Obviously, our Mishnah makes no difference. Suma is just like anybody else. So therefore, it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. So we're back to what we said before. Masavarta, we're better off by sticking with what we said, namely Matnitin Rabbi Shimon. Now, how do you read the following brisa? Neman Tano Abetano Rabban. Nitkaveno Vayesh Kagatan Uviyesh Kagato. Somebody had Kavana to be Mavayesh a Kotan. Now, I mean, Lakora. We'll see what we mean by katan, but what we mean by a katan is someone of a lesser standing, because normally when we use the word katan, we don't think in terms of children that can be mivuyash, because a child does whatever he wants anyway. He doesn't think, oh, what are people going to think, what are people going to say? He goes and he sits in the middle and he starts screaming like a madman, and he's not sensitive to Busha. So what we thought it means is, you want to hurt the feelings of a lesser person, and accidentally you end up being the Vayesh Gadol, so you're going to spit at someone, you spit at the wrong person. So the Vayesh Gadol. Notem the Gadol, the Meibosh Tosho Katan. So then, since you need to have Kavana, no, here there was Kavana, but it wasn't Kavana on the level of Busha that you actually gave, pay the Gadol what you would have paid if it would have been the Katan that you were attacking.
Is the Kavana?
We'll see more about that. It's a good question, and it's going to become clear over the next page. Levayesh is a Eved, Levayesh is Ben Chorin. Let's say you're adding Kavanah to be Levayesh and Eved. And instead, you sit at the Ben Chorin, you give to the Ben Chorin what the value of the boshet would have been to the other. Now, this can't be Rabbi Meir, obviously. And it can't be Rabbi Yehuda, as we'll see. And it can't be Rabbi Shimon either. Because the talk of that, I mean, you obviously would assume at this point that a cotton means cotton bin a pasim, and a gadol means gadol bin a pasim, because a regular cotton wouldn't be sensitive to busha. And therefore, it can't be Rabbi Meir, that's for sure, because Rabbi Meir, Amar Kulabari Adonim, he says, everyone is the same, doesn't matter if they're cotton or gadol. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because here it's just to analyze how much you would give the Eved, and give what you would give the Eved to the Ben Koran, but Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Lavadim Boshe. There is no Busha to Avadim, you're not tired, and therefore how could you estimate what you would have paid the Eved? You would have paid the Eved anything. And if it's going according to Rabbi Shimon, you're not tired at all, because Rabbi Shimon opened the Kavim Vayesha Seu Vayesha. If you and the Vayesha is the wrong person, that's not called Kavana. Here's our first indication of the extent of the Kavana. He says, in the same way that if you would have killed someone, my time, it's Iksola, just like murder. Just like we learn out from the prophet, just like murder, Maksola, Nitzkavim, Lezet, it means, Achim, Nitzkavim, Le, you have to have Kavana to this specific person, Nitzkiva, Arav, Lo, Vikama, Lav, that you were sitting there in wait for him, and then you got him. Which means, Achim, Nitzkavim, Lo, you have to have Kavana for him, but otherwise you have to wait in line, wait for him. Arav means I was waiting for this guy and I got the guy. So it was my intent all along to get this guy. So too do we find by boshet exactly the same thing, because it says, after mitkavein leish, there has to be a kavana for the victim. The tzitzit shilchai yadav yitzika bimibushav. Why does it stress bimibushav? Achi yitkavein lo. So it's got to be that her intent was to grab his testicles, not somebody else's. In which case, over here, it's the same idea. I was going to spit at somebody. I ended up spitting at the wrong person. Right? So she hears if there's a melee going on and she grabs the wrong guy who wasn't attacking her husband, and her intent was to save her husband, she wouldn't have gone on Busha at all. Because there was no intent to embarrass the person that she had actually embarrassed.
Is there a headlight on the word? On the word moving tongue at all?
No, it's incredible. It's an incredible idea. The Torah defines busha in terms of busha. That's the beauty of this. The reason that we're going to isolate testicles in the source of the concept of busha is to make it very clear that vulnerability is the essence of busha rather than embarrassment. And so that she's going after his vulnerable part. Not, obviously nobody's embarrassed by their testicles. So the point of the Zika bin Mubushav is that she has attacked the area in which he is vulnerable. That's what we say, B'nai Yisrael or Bai Shanim. If you have Bai Shanim, you're often embarrassed. It means they're very sensitive to shame because they recognize how vulnerable a human being is. Where someone who has no shame walks around thinking that something can affect him. He's invulnerable, right? You say, oh, the man is shameless. He doesn't even realize that he's a garnish. He thinks that he's beyond, he's not even human, basically. So over here, that's why, by the way, the whole beauty is kind of, that's the whole beauty of Stand By Me. I guess, remember when we gave that brush on Stand By Me? We have an entire movie dedicated to the concept of Rusha, the discovery of Rusha. And Smith. I don't know if you recall, but that's almost the whole point of the movie. They go out first to become the heroes for finding a body, and in the end they're Meister Nefesh to protect the body, Mamashal, almost at the cost of their lives. That the other people who are going to invite the body and wanted to make use of it shouldn't be able to do so. And they give a phone call, an anonymous phone call, for the police to pick up the body that they have discovered. The description of the entire movie, the central theme of the entire movie, is ball. From beginning to the end, that's all that they talk about. Even in the background, you know, when they were showing, we're called Asa, by the way. When they were showing Asa, this red-haired guy, right? So, you know, he's even driving his car, in the background, they're playing Great Balls of Fire. How did they stop? The whole thing, how did it, the change, it's unbelievable. The change takes place when the leading kid finds, they went into some water and he finds a leech on his testicle, right? Mm-hmm. And he faints because of the vulnerability. But it's all, we have our deal, here he is. So he's bleeding, right? And he chased that away. And at that moment, everything changes. And they recognize that they can't take advantage of this body. Mamish directly from the prophet. Absolutely sure. But the Mikab and Mubashav specifically.
Think a little bit about the part where Canaan does what he does to Noah and then he basically pursues that element of the.
You mean the question of Rabbi Shimon, Avodim, Emma, and Boshe? And we learned it to sign? No. Interesting. In any event, so you see over here that it can't be Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon holds that Emma, Avodim, Boshe. So there's no mind the armor that the price is going according to. So if you go, you're going like Rabbi Judah, but you didn't say Avodim don't steal Boshe. He said you don't owe them Boshe. Right? Our problem with Rabbi Yehuda is, how can it say you give the difference between the Busha and Evan and the Busha Ben Kohen? Well, there's no problem. The Evan feels Busha. He's honored Rabbi Yehuda, he's not going to Busha. It's a Mesav, well, it's to owe them Busha. Abel Mesham, to use them as a model for how much I would owe Busha to someone on that level, Shangin and Boo, I can still be Sham and then give it to the Ben Kohen because of the level of my Kavanah was to be Mavayish, a person like an Evan. And since I don't hold that Miskavin Lazeh, the Eno Miskavin Lazeh is a problem, as I hold it, you're chayav anyway, so it works out very well according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Ibai Seima. You know what? It could be even going according to Rabbi Meir. When it says Gadol V'Katan, that doesn't mean Gadol V'Katan higher or lower standings in terms of income. Gadol, when you said Miskavin, Gadol, Gadol V'Katan, Katan, 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 is that what you thought? No! Gadol, Gadol, Mamish, Katan, Katan, Mamish. Talking about an adult versus a child. And that is for Rabbi Meir's mode. Rabbi Meir just said your standing is not important. But certainly the level that you're at right now in your life, I mean, there's no comparison. You're going to take someone who is an Adam Kosher, you take a little child, and you take the same ambassador. That has nothing to do with the theory of whether the Bnei Yisrael are all Avram Yisrael, the Avram children. Correct the Gemara, but how is a child of Bar Moshe? A child specifically feels just shameless. He can do whatever he wants, and he doesn't think that people, it doesn't matter to him. Right? So if he's shameless, in what sense is he a barbosha?
It is possible for
me. In the armor of Papa, as Papa has explained many times, we'll see, but we're going to have a few instances of her Papa. The mikhlo, it depends on the child. There are children that if you will embarrass them, and you will remind them of something that they did and so on, they will be very embarrassed. And they will be Michelin. So, you know, I'm going to be Michelin. It's talking about a Yar Cotton who is not shameless and who is sensitive to his standing. And that's what we need. But nonetheless, since his objective standing is a lot lower, so we also view the payment as being a lot less. By the way, we haven't really defined the most central issue, which is what is the payment for? Is the payment for, and this is where we're about to begin, is the payment for embarrassment, which would require the person to feel the embarrassment, or is the payment for the lessening, which is objective, and therefore other people are aware of it, even if he isn't aware of it, and that is a type of damage. Cheapening it, degrading it. So that would make a tremendous difference in terms of the cost, as we'll see. And that's what we're, and that's a whole different way of viewing the idea of Lucian.
Is it temporary? Or isn't it temporary?
Maybe, maybe not. I mean, obviously, it depends on what it is that you do. But who cares?
It doesn't affect the cost. I mean,
yeah, but I'm saying if that's included, what would a person be willing to take? You know, to be willing. By the way, real busha, it certainly isn't temporary in terms of the suffering. Any time that you will remember something embarrassing, you will suffer exactly the same way. It hurts exactly the same. It could be 30, 40 years later, it's exactly as if it took place. It's amazing. And you can even remember childhood suffering, you know, of being embarrassed in a school classroom, and it will hurt the same 50 years later, which is an unbelievable thing. Yeah, it's unbelievable how it is. So it, in a sense, it is a permanent sort of suffering. It is a permanent suffering. Now, let's take a look at the next studio. You might bring up cases like this. I'm a vayesha to Aaron. Someone who embarrasses someone who is walking around naked. I'm a vayesha to Suma. I'm someone who embarrasses someone who is blind, somebody who embarrasses a sleeper, is higher than all of the cases. Whereas a Yashem should be Yesh, would be Fatur. Mapam and Agat, someone falls from the roof, and Yizikul B'Yesh, he falls on top of someone, cushions the blow, is cushioned by the person's body beneath him. He's higher than a Nezik, but he's Fatur on the Boshe. Unless he twists it specifically to aim at that person, and he's going to cushion himself by making a fool out of this guy. I mean, everybody around is like laughing their heads off, and it's pretty hilarious. But guy falls and suddenly I'm going about the other guy. So who is your insurer? So the question over here is, when he's mitkaveh, here he's mitkaveh not for bushalafa, he's only mitkaveh. So what does Ashim mitkaveh mean? There too, we have our, as I promised you, we have already the Mishnah opens up the figure. What do we mean by kavanah for bushalafah? If you embarrass a naked individual, you're chayav. But you cannot compare embarrassing someone who's naked to embarrassing someone who's dressed. Bishol b'beit hamerchat chayav, embarrassing someone in a beit hamerchat where he's naked, which now implies that the first case where he's naked means he's walking around outdoors naked, he's a streaker, right? Which already the Gemara is now going to talk about. Ve'ino domeh bishol b'beit hamerchat bishol b'shut, in which case we are bothered by this. Bishol arom chayav, instance. If the guy is a streaker, he is obviously not sensitive to shame. So when you say that alone by Boshet, what are you talking? I mean, then there's no virtue. He basically has been mocking himself and saying, well, you know, I'm not sensitive to shame. Papa, my alone, when we say that he's naked, we don't mean that he went around naked. What happened over here is the Atah Zika Kachino Lamani, he, remember, in those days they didn't wear underwear. So they were wearing long robes. If there's a sudden gust of wind, you could be in deep trouble. So if you're sensitive for that kind of thing. That's right. That's right. There you go. Right? So, Enochinami, what happened over here is the wind came along and pulled up his skirts, wrapped it around him, and he wasn't completely exposed, but this guy comes along and Delino's face. He pulls it up just a little bit more, right? It calls attention to him. Who bishol basher, and it now causes him busha. So now that means that the status of Aron is also relative. In other words, fine, it's quite embarrassing to be 90% exposed, but it's still embarrassing if somebody else adds to the exposure, and that's people with a sense.
And we would call that Aron?
Yeah. In other words, that's what we're focusing on. We're focusing on the embarrassment of nakedness. So saying, even if the person was exposed and essentially all of all on the shirt. That means he walked around naked. It means he walked around out of shirt. That's not all on the shirt, right? So he's possible to eat those kind of things. It has no sensitivity to the kashiva of the human being. So here it's basically the same idea. But if that's the case, it means that we're dealing with issues of nakedness, in which case it no longer makes sense to say it's going to be wise to kind of based on their car. In what sense? Pull off the clothes and make on their car? I mean, that's exactly what he's there for. I mean, nobody's embarrassed to get undressed and make a mechat. So what is the point of the bushan? So then, if that's the case, so be shown that Beit HaMechat Chayav, Beit HaMechat Bar Boshet too. I don't understand. What's the bushan involved? Assuming, again, it's nakedness, which seems to be the whole point. But if Papa, when it says Beit HaMechat, it doesn't mean a public bath. It means be shown Agadei HaNahar. The guy is going in to skinny dip, but you couldn't take off his bathing suit under the water, he was planning. It wasn't going to sit there and pull his clothes and then go into the water. So in the middle of that, means that nonetheless, it's still an act of bushing. Where is Baba Bamama? Bishol Yashen, here is where we start peeling open the issue. You're Leviash, the sleeper, and the guy never wakes up. He dies in his sleep. Who makes mouth? Now, my coming by like, the issue is like this. Is the concept of busha because of the actual emotional pain of the victim? So it's mishum kisufa. And over here, baham misla, like kisufa, this guy never experienced the pain. He died before knowing that it happened, and therefore there was no pain. and therefore you should be potter. Avila mishum zilukam, or is busha an actual objective understanding of his degradation in terms of others? It has nothing to do whether he was aware of it or not. He was in fact degraded. Tashma Rabbi Meir on it. Cheresh v'katam yesh lehem busha, shote ein lo busha. Now look, if you're going to tell me that it's ziluta, and the issue over here is not how you feel, then that would explain why a katan has boshet. Again, because we're ignoring Rukhata's diction that you can have a katan that would feel boshet. We're assuming right now that the katan means the child has no hakpara on his ass and he's shameless, as many children are. So then we talk about a katan, and nonetheless he would have boshet, because it has nothing to do with his feelings. It has to do with whether he is in fact objectively degraded and people now look down at him. If you're going to tell me he experiences embarrassment, katan bar boshet too, so it must be because of ziluta. On the contrary, if it's because of ziluta, so what about a shota? Why can't we have an objective degradation of a madman? Shota ein lecha busha gedola mizu. You cannot further degrade a shota. He is as fully degraded as is possible. But that's just it. That man is insane. So, I mean, it means that he's no longer viewed as part of the normal human race. So you're not going to deal with him anyway. How can you degrade him? So, if that's the case, so become a Shukimajimshimzimota. Okay, so now are we right then in saying it's got to be because of objective standards since it affects the cotton? Because the Imishum Kisufa, as we said, if it's because of the subjective emotional experience, Katanba Kisufa, who is a child capable of that emotion, says the Gemara, indeed he is, if we're talking about a Rapapa level child. Kiriyama Rapapa, the Mikhlumule Umichlam, talking about that he is a child that can be embarrassed. If you embarrass him, he senses it. So that could be what we're talking about over here, that's all. But ain't nothing on me. Perhaps a katan who is shameless, you can't be embarrassed. Even though objectively, there is, in fact, a ziluta. The Papa Amar, the Papa says, no. The question wasn't whether busha is defined by objective degradation of him versus subjective emotional response of him. The question of busha, says Rav Papa, Swami Bailey, the concept of embarrassment is indeed real. It's not, it's emotional. But when you pay embarrassment, the definition of embarrassment is the context of the individual within the world, is it not? In other words, if there were no other people in the world, is it possible to describe embarrassment? No. Can you describe Tsar? Yes. Can you describe Shevet? Yes. Can you describe Rebwood? Yes. Can you describe Nezek? Yes. But Boshet is a whole new idea, because Boshet now is the way he feels vis-a-vis other human beings. Therefore, my question is, perhaps Boshet is not his personal feeling. Perhaps Boshet is the impact on the family. Maybe it's a whole new idea that the Torah is saying, you take responsibility for having damaged the feelings of all those associated with this person. In which case, his question was, Begabedi Yashem, what is the issue? So Bishop Kikuma the Dehu, if that sleeping person never woke up, then he never had a personal experience of Busha. Oh, Dylan, we should both with me, fuck up. Or do we say, fine, so that element of it wasn't there. You're right. But the other element of this person in the universe, there's still the ripple effect of the Boshet, and that's what the story is telling you to take into account when you're dealing with Busha. Enough in only. That would be it. Enough in only. So, again, the public approach, we say the same thing. Tashma. If you're going to tell me it's Mishum Boshet Mishpachah, that of course explains why a cotton can have Boshet. But if you're telling me it's because of his personal embarrassment, can a cotton have Boshet? Oh, come on, if it's because of the Mishpachah, you say the same thing about a Shota. A Shota, the family is embarrassed. No, the family is totally embarrassed. You can't make them more embarrassed. We're having a Shota, Ein lecha Boshet Gedola Mizu. So the fact that you're now laughing at him and so on, it's not going to make any difference. Okay, but fine. So shall we go back and say Nitzchokinami Shuboshit Mishpacha? But still, the cousin, right? So it's got to be because of the family problem, because he didn't shum kisufa. Cousin Bakisufa, who? Amr Rafata, yes. The Mitzvah, of course, this is where Rafata said his dictum. This is what Kitty Amr Rafata has been saying all along, like Rafata said. Like Rafata said about the riot to his own Shaila, and he said, don't bring me a riot for there, because as you know, a cotton may refer to a cotton that is sensitive to Boshe. But Tanya, and I'll prove to you that it is such a case, because Rebbe on that parish Ein Lo Boshe showed the Ein Lo Boshe cotton, Ta'amin Yeshlo, Ta'amin Ein Lo. How do you explain that? How the Mithlai Mithlam, other Mithlai Mithlam? It's very clear, therefore, there are two types of cotton. Some cotton is shameless, some cotton is not shameless. Therefore, I apply the rule of this brisa all over the other cases as well. Someone who is blind, you're chayav to pay for the boshet, which shows us, as we saw before, that the Mishnah is the loka Rabbi Yehuda. This is not going according to Rabbi Yehuda, but the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda omer suma ein lo boshet. Yitakhaya Rabbi Yehuda koter et suma. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda pocket the suma not only for boshet, but from a chiyav to go into golos, and we'll see all these exeris akosas that we learn from the boshet, from the chiyav to go into golos, from the fear to get Malkus, and from the fear of Mrs. Bezdin. My time in a Rebbe Yehuda, where does Rebbe Yehuda get such a deal from? Gamar Enecha Enecha May Edim Zomini. He learns that the Torah has told me this, Lo Tachos Enecha Allah, whereby Edim Zomini that says, no matter what you have to do, Enecha. Now over there, Enecha refers to Dayanim. You have to deal with whatever you've seen, and it seems fantastically unfair. It didn't cause any damage. Nonetheless, I'm going to turn over them. So the kasher zaman, the kasher asa, lo kachot inecha. It says exactly the same thing by the woman. The katsoka et kapa, by the bayeshet. And it says the same thing. Cut off her hand, and lo kachot inecha. Meaning, let her pay fully, even though she was only trying to protect her husband. So, therefore, in the same way that over there, by Adam Zomanim, just like Adam Zomanim obviously do not include Sunim who are possible for Adam, so too, Apocha, it excludes Sunim. Ma'atik Sunim law, Apocha Sunim law. Golit also excludes Sunim, the Tanya, below Ra'ut. It says that if a person attacks somebody, he sends an Evan, the Paul Evan, Asher Yamutpa, below Ra'ot, when you call Allah by Yamot. So here too, Prat Masumad, Rabbi Yehuda, below Ra'ot, Masumad doesn't have any Ra'ot. Because below Ra'ot means he didn't see. Not that he could have seen, but he didn't notice. But a Suma can't see at all. Because he says, on the contrary, below Ra'ot means even if he's blind, even if he cannot see. What are they arguing? In my time, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says what? It starts off with a general pasuk. It says, "Asher yavo et re'eyu bayah laktov etzim." Anybody who's coming to cut wood in the forest, we need koliyat ofakar zem and so on and so forth. And that would have included anybody. So apilu suma. Now that it stresses below road, it's now coming lemuute the suma. Rabbi Meir says, "Well, the Torah says below road, which is a mir. You're right." But then why did the Torah say below the Lidat? Asher Yaket Re'eu Biv Lidat Ulo Tonelo Mitzmol Shoshon. So Biv Lidat is also a Mu'ute. Avi Mir Dachamir. They Mir Dachamir Elo Rabbo. Therefore, the Torah comes to re-include Suma and only to exclude Tome that you don't have Kabona. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The Biv Lidat has nothing to do with Suma. The Lira owes the Suma. Biv Lidat is to tell me that the problem is Kabena the us. So we exclude the Suma from there also. So I think we should finish up the Machlokas with the Meir Yehuda tomorrow and get us up for the Mishnah.